Now, we'll start this afternoon with that story that you might have heard on Radio Kerry News earlier. And it's about an awful incident that happened in Tralee in January involving the electrocution of a perfectly healthy dog that was a much-loved family pet. It happened when the dog was being walked by its owner, Emma Fitzgibbon. And Emma was pretty distraught, as you can imagine, when this happened. And she got in touch with us to share the story. Now, just before we play Emma's interview, just maybe to remind you that there might be little ears listening, and some of this is very distressing and will be distressing for anyone who has a dog. So just to warn you about that in advance. Here is Emma telling us her story.
I was walking down Carsley Road. There was ice, but it was okay. I was wearing hiking boots. And as we walked down the road...
Sorry, what time of the day did you say?
It was around 5:30.
In the evening?
In the evening, so it was dark. So as we walked down the road and we got just beyond Carsley Park, he hesitated and he tried to walk out on the road. And as he did that... I pulled him back towards me. His name was Cookie. He was a golden retriever. And as I pulled him back towards me and pulled him onto the footpath, he continued to hesitate. And I remember distinctly saying to him, "What's wrong?" And as I did that, he fell to the ground and he started making this sound, screech, that I had never heard an animal make. He went into spasm and he was completely distressed. He lost complete control of his body and I could see all his limbs were twisting inwards. And I was completely overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. I said, okay, there's something up with his paws. He was just making this horrendous screeching sound. So as I stepped in to try to go to help him, his teeth actually lunged into my calf and I got an awful fright because he was an amazing dog. He would never even growl at me. That was so out of character for him. So then I just was kind of trying to think what to do. I rang my husband straight away. I was like, "This is where I am. Please come and help me. He's having a spasm. I don't know what to do." I then rang the vets because I could see they're really close by, Holmes Vet. And I was like, "Can you please come help me? This is where I am." I did consider running to the vet, but I didn't want to leave him on his own. Then other people that were passing started to see what were happening, so they stopped to try and help me. And he was still spasming on the ground, but the screeching was getting less as time was going on. And eventually could have taken 4 to 5 minutes. And eventually the screeching lessened and obviously he was dying.
And this was an otherwise perfectly healthy dog.
This was an absolutely...
And a young dog.
Yeah, a young dog. And he was a fabulous dog. We had put an awful lot of time and energy into training him. He would always, you know, I could go off-leash running or jogging with him. He was really good to socialise with other dogs. He was never aggressive. You know, we put a lot of time and energy into him. I have young kids. He was, you know, another member of our family. It was completely, I was completely shocked. I couldn't understand what was happening.
And this isn't a dog that had been sick previously or anything. This just completely happened out of the blue.
Just completely out of the blue.
And what was your initial reaction? What did you think happened?
I thought he was having some sort of spasm. And I couldn't understand why I thought he was after perhaps stepping on something because all his limbs, his paws were twisting inwards. And as people stopped to help me, one or two of them touched the dog. And one man in particular said, "I'm after getting a jolt of electricity. I'm after getting a shock."
From the dog?
From the dog. "And did your dog touch the pole? I think it's coming from the pole." And I was, "No, I don't think so." My dog was on the outside of the footpath and with the spasm, he had moved inwards.
And the pole in question being the...
A light post.
Street light.
A street light, basically.
Yeah.
The street light that we were just happened to be walking past. And yes, they confirmed they got a shock from the dog and then they touched the pole and they confirmed they got a shock from the pole. Then the veterinary nurse came and as soon as she came, she touched the dog and she was like, "The dog is live. There's electricity in the dog. Everybody step away from the dog. Call the police, call the ASB." So they did that, and my husband happens to work for the ASB, so I had called him anyway already, and he came, and the first thing he did was touch the pole and touch the dog, and he said, yeah, the dog's alive. And then the guards came, then the ASB came, they turned off the power. The dog had died at that stage.
So distressing, Emma.
Absolutely, yeah, because he was a fabulous dog.
It's just appalling.
Yeah.
So in the heel of the hunt, it turns out that the dog was electrocuted.
He was electrocuted to death, yeah. And I think, obviously, he had absolutely no control over his limbs or what was happening. And I think that's why, he didn't intend to hurt me. He was fried from the inside out. If I had known what was happening, in hindsight, I could have tried to remove him from the location. I believe now what happened was the electricity was travelling from the streetlight. It came under the concrete. It conducted with the ice and the dog stepped on it. He didn't hit the pole. He stepped on it. So he stepped straight into it. He hesitated. He didn't want to go into it. I pulled him in without knowing and he didn't have a hope. I had rubber boots on, so I was okay. But yeah,
But if you hadn't, could you have been electrocuted? And I'm not trying to over-dramatise this. But
absolutely, I imagine I could have. The dog was 40 kgs. Like, there's young children that leave that park on a regular basis with spikes on their boots. You know, I'm not trying to instill fear in people, but he was a big dog. He died in a matter of minutes. It was appalling the way he died. You know,
He really suffered.
He died in minutes. So it was, I'd say, 4 to 5 minutes he died.
But that was an awful way to die. The poor dog.
It was.
So are the guards investigating? Are the ESB investigating? What has happened since?
So very little has happened since. I didn't do anything about it for at least a week. The guards were very good. They came on scene. He was very considerate. He took my information. He shared with me that he was going to bring it to the attention of the county council because it was their responsibility, the streetlights. The ASB said something similar, that they would create a report and it would be passed on to the council. So I didn't hear anything from anyone. I didn't do anything about it. I suppose initially I was just really shocked. We were grieving the loss of our dog too. We had to go and bring him be cremated. I've 3 young kids. They had to, all say goodbye to him. So we didn't do anything about it. And then as time went on, I started to think, okay, I haven't heard from the council. I wonder what steps they're going to put in place to ensure this doesn't happen to other people. I wonder why it happened. And I believe what they said was it would be best for me to contact claims at Kerry County Council on the email address. And if I'm honest, Deirdre, I found that really upsetting because I wasn't interested in making a claim. I was interested in discussing what had happened and seeing, what was the outcome? Why did it happen? How could they ensure it doesn't happen again? Like, there's an awful lot of people that walk that road every day with their dogs, and I would be concerned for them. And, it happened to us. Could it happen again? In that situation, I believe what should be done is risk assessments. They should put a plan in place to understand how it happened to ensure it doesn't happen again. I asked for, a couple of reasonable things, I think, and I got response back after a day or so, and they sympathised with me for what happened. They said it was an unprecedented event and that they'd make sure it didn't happen again, and they had a draft of a report and it would be completed by the following week, early of the next week. So then I said, okay, thank you for that. Could you please share the report with me on receipt of it? And I didn't hear anything back. So about a week later, I chased up with them again, and I was informed that the report wasn't available because it had been delayed because of the storm. So again, I expressed my concerns and I said, look, I appreciate that, but I still would like to get the information. If you can help me, perhaps you can pass me on to somebody else that can. And then I think about a week later, I got another email similar. We're looking into this. We're sorry it happened. We assure you that it won't happen again. And again, I went back to them and I said, you know, thanks very much for that reassurance. However, that is just words. I would like to see what actions are aligned with those words. So I'd appreciate if you could share those with me. I understand it may take time. Could you give me an idea of the guideline of the time frame? And to date, I've heard nothing back. It's been 7 weeks since it happened.
You just want assurances from them that this won't happen again.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that steps have been taken.
Yeah, that steps have been taken. And I mean, it was a freak accident. I do appreciate that. And things like that can happen. And they are challenging. But it's not to say that steps can't be put in place.
So that's where we are at the moment. So you're waiting to hear. And you mentioned to me before we went on air, Emma, that there were problems with the lights in Carrisaligh for some time, that a lot of the streetlights weren't on.
Yeah, like, I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm not an electrician. I'm not qualified to say what's going on there. But I am a resident. I live in the area. I walk or jog that road every day. Anybody who lives in that area will tell you the lights, the main street lights in Carrisaligh, were out for months. They were out from at least November. And the lights were off for a long time. When the incident happened, a lovely man who lived directly across the road from where the accident happened, you know, he actually came over and he helped me. He heard the dog. The minute he heard the dog, he said, there's something not right there. And he came over and he helped me. And he stayed from the start to the finish. He did the report with the guards and everything. And he mentioned to me, he said, those lights only went back on today. So those lights that had been out for months and months were turned back on.
The day the dog was electrocuted.
The day the dog was electrocuted. Now, the county council, in the little they have said to me, they have said, oh, that has got nothing to do with this incident. Maybe it doesn't. I'm not qualified to say, but there has been an issue with the lights for a long time. And if it can happen in that situation, what's to say, you know, it can't happen again.
And that was Emma Fitzgibbon there from Tralee telling us about that awful incident involving her dog Cookie, the family pet. An otherwise healthy dog, by the way, just to stress that, perfectly healthy young dog, only 3 years old, out for a walk with the owner, and that's how the day ended. An awful thing to happen, and so disturbing for Emma too, who got bitten in the middle of it. But and again, this would have been completely out of character for the dog, so it just goes to show how distressed the poor dog was. It was, to all intents and purposes, a freak accident. Maybe Cookie wouldn't have been electrocuted if the path hadn't been frozen over, because of course the electricity reacted with the ice, and that's why the dog got electrocuted. Perhaps it might have been a different story.